that can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From Your Hands, Your Feet, Your Side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let Your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in You.
These lying signs and wonders, these lying so-called revivals, they are dividing. I've never seen a divorce follow a revival like this one. It's astounding. I never saw the wives rebel against their husband and get self-willed like what happened after this revival. And men, you know, running after the lust of their flesh, everybody seeming to be delivered from any kind of restraint like after this revival. Suddenly, they disrespect the Word. They're not restrained by the Word anymore. They do what they want to do. They divorce if they want to divorce. They run after other women if they want to. That, you know, no restraint was a sign that followed the people who got hands laid on them in this revival. Not just the jerking, twitching, flailing, and falling on the floor. You know, all you had to do is watch the fruits that followed. And now, folks, we got another wave of it coming. But also, we have a very humble revival coming. And, you know, the people that are impressed with the glitter of Babylon, they're not going to be impressed with this any more than the Pharisees and the people that followed them were impressed with Jesus and those fishermen, tax collectors. Yeah. So, get ready, but be sure you're humble to the Word of God, right? You know, I live about a couple of miles from the Brownsville church down there where the famous revival is. And I tell you, folks, that I have warred with the deceiving spirits that were in that for almost 10 years now. I mean, they've fought us, they've attacked us, and we've been able to help some, and others we haven't been able to help. And, you know, that kind of grieves me. And I'll share something with you that the Lord showed me about that. But listen, all of you folks out there, I would love to see you steer around the pitfalls of these deceptions out there that are taking God's people. It's just really, really an anguish in my heart to see people that are deceived like this. It is. And I want to tell you, if you go to a revival and they're not calling upon the name of the Lord and they're chanting mantras like fire, 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 or more, 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 or more power, or more fire, or such things like that, instead of calling upon the name of the Lord. And you just turn around and walk right back out the door. Let me tell you that right now. Run. Get as far away from that as you can. Because they're calling down spirits to manifest the lying signs and wonders and deceive you. That's what they're doing. And that's a principle that's been used in the occult. It's a principle that's been used in Eastern religions and things. And, you know, it's not something that should be in Christianity at all. You know, we call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And I have some dear friends that were in that revival, and they were prayer leaders in that revival. And they told us, you know, that they were actually told not to pray in the name of Jesus, but rather to do these chants. You know, well, they found success, what they thought was success, because they'd do these chants, and of course, the demons would come and manifest their signs and wonders, which is what they were interested in. They wanted to see the signs and wonders, you know. Well, God gives biblical signs and wonders, and according to the Bible, it's to confirm the people who speak His truth. And it's to confirm His words. And, of course, lying signs and wonders are to confirm a lie. And have people who come to spread a lie. So it's not that they're not supernatural. It's not that they don't actually happen. They do. The devil has power. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power, and signs, and lying wonders, and all deceit of unrighteousness, for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, the thing that will defend us more than anything from any kind of deception of the devil is a love for the truth. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, folks, that the god of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. He didn't say the non-Christians. He said the unbelieving. Unbelief in God's solid rock word is what opens us up to deception. And the more unbelief we have, the more opportunity we have to be deceived in many, many things. If you're prayed over, or more correctly, prayed upon by these people, just renounce it very quickly. I can tell you that's the most people I've heard delivered were people that did just this. They realized they made a mistake. They felt what came over them. They had discernment of it. They renounced it quickly, and they were delivered quickly. And that's what I suggest to you, the people who have received success in deliverance from this thing. Notice from the verses I just read that unless you're protected because of your love of the Word and righteous living, several things can happen to you when these people pray over you. Number one, you will be deceived by Satan as a working of error that's sent by God. God separates people that don't love the truth from people that do. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. He doesn't want a little leaven to leaven the whole lump, so he separates people that can't admit that the clear word of God is true. Okay. And personally, I have seen several things consistently that happen in the infected people concerning this. Number one, they begin to hear and follow the leading of a God impersonating spirit. In other words, another God. They believe sincerely that this is God, but I want to remind you of what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 13. It says that there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Now, these folks, these people that are infected, they do hear the voice of God. They hear it clearer than you hear it. The devil doesn't mind speaking loud and clear. Matter of fact, sometimes he will speak in your ear, audibly even. He doesn't follow the same set of rules that God does. God wants us to walk by faith. The devil don't care about training you to walk by faith. He just wants you to hear his voice and follow him because he knows he's going to lead you away from the Lord, right? These people become so convinced that this is the voice of God, that they come to respect that false word rather than the true word. And I want to tell you what's the major drawback to this. They now do not have a standard. They do not have a rock that would bring conviction and restraint into their life. And so they end up being given over to their past lusts or even new lusts sometimes. And this I see is almost common among the people that do get infected. Okay, the spirits in them will end up railing it, even with lies, against those who recognize these false spirits and love the truth or love the Word of God. Once they realize you recognize them, it has nothing to do with the natural, that this person is angry with you. It's not natural. It's not natural at all. But when those spirits recognize that you recognize them, they will come against you. When they realize that you know them and you can see them, they'll come against you and they'll rail at you. And they'll do it with anger when the person themselves wonders why they're doing it sometimes. I've even had people come that were infected to come back and tell me later, David, I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said this, what I said was wrong. And I've had that happen several times, as a matter of fact. They don't even know why. And I know why. That's a demon in there. They should realize it too. That's a demon. As this infection progresses, these people not only come to respect these unbiblical signs, but are able to pass them on. And even the spirits who bring the deception and perform these signs, they're able to pass them on. I've been asked this question, and I'm paraphrasing the questions. I don't remember them all. I just wrote them down as I could think of them today. Can one have a partial infection concerning this? I've taken to using the word infection. I'll tell you why. It's because this is like a disease. People are carriers of it. It is like a disease in that they can pass it on. You can get around them, listen to them, let them pray over you, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. They can pass it on. They can't pass it on to everybody, but they can pass it on to some people. And yes, it is. It can be a partial infection. I have seen some receive the spirits that cause them to disrespect the word, but they're still not convinced of the lying signs and wonders. And the reason for this is very simple. This has been revealed as a Trojan horse attack on the people of God. In the book Sovereign God, I mention the sister that I prayed for, which was in this particular revival. And I prayed for her that the Lord would give her a dream or a vision. And she had two visions, as a matter of fact, before the week was over. And I saw her a week later, and she told me of her two visions, and one of them was of the Trojan horse. She was in the revival, and the Lord, as she heard a noise, she turned, and she saw a Trojan horse being wheeled in the back door. Well, she saw this in the spirit. She saw it because I knew that this lady had dreams and visions, and that they were very good. I'd heard some of them, and they were very good, and I knew she had a gift. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, just give it to her. Give her a dream or a vision so she'll know that this is a fake revival. Okay? So she saw that. And I want to say something else. A brother shared the other night how that a pastor and his wife that he knew about, who had gotten into this, come down here and gotten infected and went back home and took it to their congregation. And he spoke about the pastor's wife, who had been a very slim, very quiet person. And all of a sudden she was just changed, totally changed. But she also became overcome with her flesh, as I was speaking earlier, not a lack of restraint. This is a common thing about this, is a lack of restraint. You don't have the word to restrain you anymore, and you're just so happy. Some of these people are so happy. You understand, people can be happy because there's no restraint anymore. They've been let loose. Kind of like in the wilderness when they were worshiping the golden calf and Moses was up in the mountain. The people were set loose, and they were having a big party, folks. They were just so happy. They were turned loose. Their flesh was turned loose to do what it wanted to do. And this poor lady, within a very short time, even though she was young, she had to have her stomach stapled and ultimately died at a young age. Well, I want to tell you, this dear sister that I prayed for to have this vision, and the other one was that she saw a red dragon stretched over the whole building. The ceiling disappeared, and she looked up, and she saw a red dragon. That's the god of Babylon. Bel is his name, the dragon of Babylon. He's a false Jesus. This dear sister is dead today. I just heard yesterday that she had died at a relatively young age. And I think this is happening more than people understand. Well, anyway, this revelation was that this was a Trojan horse type attack. You know, when the people, if you read the story of the Trojan horse, when the people of Troy brought what they thought was a gift of their God inside their city, a relatively small group of the enemy was hidden inside. And in the darkness that came after that, these crept out and opened the gates to a much larger army that was waiting on the outside. So you see, this thing can be progressive. Among deliverance ministries, they call them the gatekeepers, because it's their job to open the gates to let more demons in. Like Jesus said, they'll take seven worse than themselves and bring them in with them, you see. The gatekeepers. Well, that's the way the Trojan horse was. It opens the gate for more and more of the enemy to come in. You may have an infection that started out with what I see to be common, and that is a disrespect for the Scriptures. And the reason for that is, of course, is because they have this voice that they believe to be the voice of God, and he speaks contrary to the Scriptures. And they're quite willing to listen to that voice rather than hold that voice to the Scriptures or judge that voice by the Scriptures. And I've been running across this for years, folks. Oh, the Lord told me this. I say, it can't be. Here's what the Bible says. Now, we know that our Lord wrote the Bible and that he's not schizophrenic. So we have to stick with it because he's not a God. He's not a man that he should repent. Okay. Many Christians are bringing these false gifts inside and they continue on in darkness, and sooner or later they'll be infested with more of these life-destroying demons. And, you know, I want to point out something to you, that this thing started down here in Pensacola in an Assembly of God. And many other Assembly of Gods around us, around this area, they joined in. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's one glaring difficulty in the Assembly of God, and it is that they are ignorant that Christians can have demons. And since these couldn't be demons, of course, coming in and attack them, it had to be the power of God. Well, that's an erroneous thought, and that's a deception. You know, all through the New Testament, I want to tell you, who was it that they were casting the demons out of? You know, you can go, for instance, to Matthew chapter 10, and I'll just read this to you. Verse 5, the 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not in any way of the Gentiles. In other words, lost people. And enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's God's people. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Who are they casting the demons out of? Not the lost people, God's people. And if you go to Mark chapter 7 and verse 25, but straightway a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. In other words, she didn't have a covenant according to the old covenant. She had no covenant. And she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. And she went away unto her house and found the child laid upon the bed, and the demons gone out. Well, folks, notice what Jesus said. Casting out of demons is the children's bread. It belongs to his covenant people. That's the only people they were casting demons out of in the New Testament. This woman that came, who was more believer than his lost sheep of the house of Israel, was given what she asked for because of her faith. You know, the Bible says faith is accounted as righteousness. And she was accounted as one of God's people because of her faith. Of course, you know that Jesus came to bring us into the new covenant, and he was pointing this out with this lost woman, a woman who didn't have a covenant but now had a covenant through faith in Jesus. The children's bread. The only people that legally can have their demons cast out is the children of God, those who have covenant with God, what we call the saved, right? The fact that this woman proved that she was saved through her faith is what gave her this miracle. So, where have they been that they don't believe that Christians can have demons? Or that Jews in their covenant could have demons? What did the seven sons of Sceva do? Were they casting demons out of the lost, or were they casting demons out of the saved? Exactly, they were casting them out of the saved. And so it is today, folks. If a person will confess their faith in Jesus Christ, they have a right to deliverance. So this is really a door opened in this particular denomination to accept demons because they don't believe Christians can have demons. And it spread especially through that particular denomination and went into a lot of other denominations, many, many different denominations. It's spread all across the country now, you know. I've been asked, can one be prayed over by these people and not be infected at all? And the answer to that is yes. It happens often. Some of the Christians examining this phenomena from the inside of infected churches or elsewhere are ignorantly, but sometimes honestly, seeking only God. And sometimes they pray that famous prayer. You've probably prayed yourself, Lord, if this is not of you, I don't want it. If it is of you, I want it. You ever prayed that prayer? I have. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people who were protected, the same thought came into their mind. Now, that can only be God, folks. That thought came into their mind to pray that prayer. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Do you just want things because other people want them? Or they're excited? Or you want to be accepted with the crowd? You know? Why do most people start smoking? The facts are most people start smoking because they want to be cool. They want to be accepted with the crowd around them. And after that, they get trapped. They want to be cool, and they become a fool, don't they? Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. And so people in religious gatherings, they see other people excited about something, well, they might just want to jump in there with them, but not because of it being God's will, you know. Well, these people usually escape this infection unless there's some kind of willful sin or disregard for the word. As the Bible says in Proverbs 26:2, as the sparrow in her wandering and as the swallow in her flying, so the curse that is causeless alighteth not. You know, a curse can't come on you unless there's a cause. And I'll tell you who the normal cause is. It's us. That's the normal cause of any curse, you know. You reap what you sow, the Bible says, right? And, of course, we love grace because it delivers us from reaping what we sowed in our past, right? Through faith in Jesus Christ and repentance, God forgives us. And God puts away our sin, okay? And so there are many people that get prayed over or are around any kind of deception or delusion that don't come under its spell, and it is because there is no cause for the curse. You remember Balaam's story, huh? How he was bribed to curse the people of God, but he found he could not. Numbers 23:8. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? You know, nobody can bring a curse on someone that God has not cursed, folks. Some people don't know that God does that, but he does. He's sovereign over all things. Balaam said, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, it is a people that dwelleth alone. Listen to this. It is a people that dwelleth alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Notice that. That those people who can't be cursed are separated from the world. And that's the meaning, by the way, of sanctification. They're separated from the world. They can't be cursed. The man that was hired to do it and had the power couldn't do it. And Balaam went on to say, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Well, you better believe it, folks. If God's blessed you, who can curse you? Right? So there is a people out there that can go right through the middle of this thing and never, and it'll never touch them. You know why? Because they're honest with God. They want the truth. They don't want the lie. They're examining. They're ignorant. But they're looking, you know. And of course, if there is a blessing in it, they want it. But they're careful, and they feel careful in their spirit. And sometimes they pray that prayer. Lord, if it's not you, I don't want it. They tremble at the Lord. They don't want to be deceived. They don't want to miss the trail, right? So, God protects them. And yes, they do come through the thing. On the other hand, we cannot bless people that God has cursed. I've tried it. You've tried it too. It just doesn't work. If you cast these demons out of these people that have earned the right to have them and have invited them in, and they don't repent, they'll come right back and they'll come back worse. I've tried it. I've learned my lesson. I hope, I pray. Let me read Matthew chapter 12 to you here. I'm going to start in verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we would see a sign from thee. Now, who are these people that want a sign from God? Be careful, folks. If you want a sign from God and you're not obedient to what God has given you, and you're not repentant, and you ask God for a sign, he just might send you one. Remember the other night we spoke in Ezekiel 14 about God answering people according to the idols of their heart. He might just send you a deception. But he answered and he said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, that is no righteous sign, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, I don't know if you remember it or not, but it was after Jonah came out of the whale that he preached to the Gentiles, and they repented. They had more righteousness than his own people did, and they repented, and God spared them. And, of course, you know that when Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the bowels of the earth, he, like a seed, had to be laid in the ground in order to be multiplied. And now today, Jesus is preaching all over the earth. After his 3 days and 3 nights, he's preaching all over the world to people, just like he planned. And verse 41 says, and the men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And ever since Jesus spent his 3 days and 3 nights, some have been righteous enough to listen to his preaching out of the mouths of his sent forth disciples. And they've repented, and others. You know what repent means, folks? Repent means change your mind when you hear the word of God. That's what it means. Change your mind. There are many people that, because of their idols, they will not repent. Oh, yeah, they claim to be Christians. They believe they are, but they will not repent when they hear the word of God because it comes against their particular idol. Now, these Pharisees, they were very idolatrous. They'd already set up their little kingdom, and they didn't want anybody messing with it. They didn't want anybody messing with their pocketbook either. And so they came against Jesus, an evil and adulterous generation that sought after a sign. Verse 42, the queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Even the least in the kingdom is greater than the greatest of the old covenant, folks. Verse 43. But the unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. And then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this evil generation. Well, I want to tell you that was the evil generation at the end of the Jews' covenant, and here we are with an evil generation at the end of the Christians' covenant. And the same thing's happening, folks, the same thing. The gatekeepers are opening up and bringing in seven worse than themselves. And the last state of that person is worse than the first state. Meaning just lost? No, no. These people have been saved and become lost again. Contrary to popular opinion, they become twice dead and plucked up by the roots. You know, there's nobody that can get more reprobate than somebody who's come to God and turned away from Him. Not even somebody in the world that's never known God can get as reprobate as those people. Yeah, Bob was just mentioning to me that Satan is going to realize that he has a short time left, and he's coming down with great wrath. And of course, God's permitting this, you know, and He's sending this strong delusion that people would believe a lie. He's separating the wheat from the tares. And there has to be repentance, folks, or what's coming is going to be worse than what we started with. And multitudes of people are finding this out. You know, there are a lot of people that, by the grace of God, escape this. And matter of fact, some of them live right in the midst of it. They're ignorant. They're kind people. They're good. They're good-hearted people. And they live right in the midst of this deception going on all around them. They're ignorant. They only want God. God protects them. They have fellowship with these people. And this stuff doesn't even seem to touch them. Now, I want to tell you that once you realize that this stuff is wrong, that it is a Trojan horse, you need to get out of there. Because then you're accountable. Once you realize that this is wrong, you are now accountable. If you love your friends more than you love the Lord, you'll stick around there. And I'm going to tell you what, that same protection won't be afforded you in the future. So get up and get out of there once you realize that this stuff is a delusion. Well, you know, I've experienced this, you know, casting demons out of people and them coming back. And it's very frustrating to watch this. Of course, we always want the best for the people we're praying for. We want to see them delivered. But it's very frustrating. And I cried to the Lord one day. I said specifically, Lord, what can I do for the Toronto, Brownsville infected people? Now, I'm not talking about everybody that goes to Toronto or Brownsville. I'm talking about the infected people, the people who opened themselves up to receive these demons. I said, what can I do, Lord? Because I have seen that in some cases it is hopeless. You can't curse someone that God has blessed, and you can't bless someone that God has cursed. And the Lord gave me a very swift answer. I'm going to give it to you. This is what He gave me. Jeremiah 7 and 27. Now listen to this. And thou shalt speak all these words. That's the word of the Lord, right? Unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. That is, these infected people, right? They will not hearken. And that's, you know, this is something that has amazed me. How you can say, but don't you see what the Bible says here? You're saying the opposite. Look at this verse, you know. Oh, I heard from the Lord. Now wait. The Lord wrote this verse. They are very sure. Very sure. And thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that hath not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God. What voice are they hearkening to? Another God. One that they consider to be God. They're following after other Elohim. Nor have they received instruction. Truth is perished. It is cut off from their mouth. Truth is perished. It's cut off from their mouth. Matter of fact, I have noticed that some of these people are able to just go out and just boldly lie after these spirits have come into them. It's amazing to me, because when I see a person that's lying that I've never seen lie before, just boldly lie. And from then on, they start preaching that false deception and passing it on to other people. Look at the curse that God brings upon them. Verse 29, cut off thy hair. Now, you know, folks, in the Hebrew, this is not hair. This is crown. Cut off thy crown, O Jerusalem. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. You know, the Lord said, let no man take thy crown. Folks, there are people going around making it a livelihood to take your crown. And if you're one of those people who is due to reap what you have sown, and you have no respect for the word, and you haven't been obeying the word that God has already given unto you, you just might be one of those people that lose your crown. For the children of Judah, you know, verse 30 here, for the children of Judah. You know, the children of Judah, the Lord spoke to me years ago, Judah represents the Spirit-filled people. This is not the dead denominations that don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Who is it that's spreading this all around the land, folks? It's Judah that's spreading this false Jesus all over the land. For the children of Judah have done that which is evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. Yep, they have drugged that Trojan horse right up in the house of God. This sister, when she saw that Trojan horse, the Lord spoke to her and he said, yeah, Christians brought that in here. Verse 31. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded not, neither came it into my mind. You know, it's amazing, but these people, they're not only going astray themselves, they're taking their children and going astray with them. They're going to have them burned in the Valley of Topheth. You know, the Valley of Topheth was a place where they, outside of Jerusalem, where they burned the trash and where they burned the criminals that they didn't even bury sometimes. They just burned them in the fire. And many people think that that was a type of the lake of fire outside the city, you know. And it could be. Could be. But God's not promising anything to people who are idolaters, people who are following false gods, who listen to that voice of that spirit that they received because they didn't love the truth. And I know multitudes of people that started out in this and they're still in it. It's a strong delusion, folks. They're still in it. And you can't convince them that they've departed from the word. They have their idols, and their idols have delivered them over to the demons over those idols. And I've been asked, what's the difference between the true gifts of God and the false gifts? Well, the true gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14 are given to destroy the works of Satan and to cast him out. But false gifts never cast him out. They bring him in instead. Mark 3 and 23 says, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan hath risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. So in other words, the devil's not going to give you a gift that's going to destroy him. Have you ever wondered why these gifts that are passed out in these fake revivals are goofy gifts? Yeah, they don't do anything to destroy the works of the devil. They're not like the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. They don't destroy the works of the devil. They don't bring healing. They don't bring deliverance. They don't bring deliverance from deception. They're not discerning of spirits in the midst of them. You know, I went into the Assembly of God over here where they had this revival, and I have had discerning of spirits since I was probably a little over a year old in the Lord, and I saw demons being passed out like candy over there. Look, you know what? That's a so-called spirit-filled church, and there couldn't have been one person in that church that had discerning of spirits, because they would have realized right away what was going on. And they don't believe this is a so-called spirit-filled church, and they don't believe that Christians can have demons. And they were passing them out. So surely this is God. It has to be God, right? Well, it is God. It is God deceiving people who have not loved the truth enough to even read the Bible one time. You read the Bible one time, how many places are you going to find that Christians can have demons? And if you've read it one time, you ought to know what you need to stand on and hold fast to and not believe what you want to believe. How many times did Paul himself pronounce a curse on those that departed from his gospel? And he pronounced them anathema, you know? The true gifts are practical in that they bring God's salvation from the curse. The false gifts are for fleshly indulgence and entertainment, and they slyly destroy the works of God in your life. From God's point of view, they come to separate the wheat from the tares, and especially in the time of the harvest, like Matthew 13 teaches. And I've been asked, if I've been affected by this false revival, what can I do for deliverance? Now, first, you need to understand that the Father delivered us out of the power of darkness, Colossians 1 and 13, and He translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We don't have a problem with deception or delusion anymore. The Lord took care of that problem. But we have to repent. That's the condition. We have to repent. We have to change our mind. We have to say what the Bible says. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. We can't accept anything else but what the word of the Lord says. The Lord gave us salvation to deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. That was His plan. And I'll just read that to you. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for He hath visited and wrought redemption for His people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets that have been of old. Salvation from our enemies. Who accomplished this? Jesus did. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To show mercy towards our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. The oath which He sware unto Abraham our father. To grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all of our days. Why would God want to deliver us from our enemies? So we can serve Him in holiness and righteousness before Him all of our days. And if you don't do that, you must not be valuing the gift very much. And the Lord knows it. The Lord knows it. So we can take the authority that the Lord has given to us with these promises and this plan of God, and we can renounce and we can rebuke these deceiving spirits. You can do it in your own life. You may decide you want some help. That's fine. Call on others that have faith and let them add their faith to yours. That's fine. But renounce these false signs that have no relationship to what you see in the Scriptures whatsoever. And if you feel a need to call on someone else, then just do it. But repent. Change your mind when you see the Word of God. If you don't repent, there's no promise in this book for you whatsoever. Don't deny one word of God because of your idols. That is, the things that you desire more than you desire to submit to Him, more than you desire to lose your life. If you deny one word, you're denying more than one word. Eventually, it'll catch up to you. Don't go to a revival that advertises it's being led by two apostles, which I just ran into here just a couple of weeks ago. Two apostles. A man and his wife, by the way. The two apostles that led this revival. I mean, if you've read the Bible one time, you've read it enough to know that there is no such thing as a man and his wife that are apostles. Okay? The man's not an apostle because he would know that the Bible says very plainly, I permit not the woman to teach or to take authority over the man. You'd know very plainly in 1 Timothy that Paul only permitted men to be elders in the church. You'd know that just reading it one time. Now, what man could be an apostle that hadn't read the book more than once? And his wife would be an apostle along with him. What, you know, neither one of these are apostles. The man nor his wife are apostles. And yet they started a revival in order to, you know, teach people, teach God's people. Well, there's all kinds of people running around being apostles nowadays. It's the latest thing. The prophet thing was running rampant here a while back, and now it's apostles. There's just more apostles than you can shake a stick at. So what part, I would like to ask these people like this, I said, what part of I permit not don't you understand? Simple, black and white, not a deep revelation? Oh, it's the idol thing, you see. People lust after a position. In America, it's a disease among the sisters to want to be a teacher, to want to be a leader. Well, these are what the Bible calls false apostles. You see, the Lord trains apostles. Did you notice that Jesus trained the first apostles, and he's trained everyone since then, too? The Lord ordained personally the first apostles, and he's ordained everyone since then, too. The Apostle Paul gave us the outline. He said he wasn't trained by men. He was trained by the Lord. He said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? Wow. You mean apostles see the Lord? Yeah, kind of like the Bible speaks about in Numbers chapter 12. Let me read that to you. This is a rather simple word. It's about prophets in the Old Testament, but did you know that apostles are kind of like those prophets? Let's see, Numbers chapter 12. I know this from my own experience. Number 12 and verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He's faithful in all, because Moses represents the man-child here. He's faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, not in dark speeches, and the form of the Lord shall he behold. Well, notice, folks, if there's a prophet among them, the Lord said, he would make himself known unto him. He would personally do that in a vision, or he'd speak to him in a dream. In other words, people can't call themselves apostles, no more than in the Old Testament they could call themselves prophets. Nobody dared take that upon themselves. And they dare to do it today. You know what? In Ezekiel 14, the Lord said, I will answer you according to your idols. People want to believe certain things. For selfish purposes, they want to believe certain things. And God says, well, okay, I'll give you a confirmation if you want it. And he does. He confirms it to them. And there are people that are believing all kinds of crazy stuff. But you can show them the black and white word, and for some reason, they just can't perceive it. They can't. And that's when you know that they're deceived. That's when you know that Christians can get demons. Well, friends, if you run across a revival like that, run from it fast. And I'm not just talking about that particular form of deception. There's just more deception out there than we know what to do with, really. You're protected, though, if you love the truth. You're protected if you're honest with God. You're protected if you want to lose your life. You're protected if you're sanctified from the world. You're separate from the world, as Jeremiah chapter 7 says. And so only those people that are honest with God are going to go through these the harvest time without being deceived. As Matthew 13 tells us very plainly, you know, that the Lord is going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to gather the tares in bundles to burn them. Birds of a feather flock together, have you noticed? In their little cliques, they gather together, and the wise come in there and look at that. They shake their head, and they walk away. They get away from there. And if you have a wise assembly, and there's someone in there that's not doing anything with the word that's been given to them, and they're not obeying that word, guess what? A deceiver will come and take them out of your midst. It will happen. And glory to God, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and God knows it. So He sends those deceivers, and they take them out of there. Remember what Deuteronomy 13 says? That this person comes in your midst, this prophet, this dreamer of dreams, and he gives a sign or wonder, and it comes to pass. He said, "For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind or not." It's the Lord proving you when a deceiver comes. And God's going to use him to cleanse his flock. It's God's. Now, we're grieved. We're grieved to see people carried away by a wolf. But it's got to happen. And it will happen more so in the future. There is a great falling away, friends. A great falling away coming. We're seeing it now. But for those that give up their crown, there's going to be others that are going to step forward and pick it up. It's been that way all through the Scriptures. You know, when the Jews decided they didn't like the Messiah God sent them, they wanted one that was more in favor with them, you know, God just moved over and started over. He just gave His Messiah to the Gentiles. And now He's getting ready to do the same thing, folks, with the Gentiles. History just repeats. Those that will not humbly submit and respect His word, they will be reprobated. They will be deceived. Multitudes will take the mark of the beast. They will be deceived. But don't worry, because other people are standing in the wings. They're just waiting for their chance. And they'll step forward and they'll pick up that crown. Well, I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're about run out of time here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you reach out and touch someone or some someones out there that have been disobeying your word, Lord. Yeah, they've seen what it says, but they'd rather not believe it. They'd rather have an ear-tickling doctrine. Lord, I pray that you'll convict them now, that they will understand that they are playing with eternal life here. They have to humbly submit to everything your book says, Lord, or else they are opening themselves up for deception. Lord, give your people a respect for your word, Lord. Lord, we know that those that you have chosen from the foundation of the world will endure unto the end. They will be found written in your book at the end. But multitudes will be erased out of your book before the end because they didn't love the truth, because they had a name that lived, but they're dead, because they did their own pleasure. They pleased their flesh. They saved their suke life and put to death their zoe life, and they're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us to give anointed wisdom and warnings to many who were about to die. And Lord, bring back their soul from the edge of the pit, Lord. Rescue them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, give a respect for your word to your people, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship with the brethren, Lord, and we certainly love them. We know you love them too. We ask you, Lord, to help them to take these words to heart. And we ask you, Lord, to help them to read the word like they've never read it before, that they not depart from even one word enabling them to be deceived, Lord. For as you said, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, Lord, we ask you to make your people believers and disciples that tremble at your word, that respect you highly, that never want to hear the voice of the deceiver, that never want to hear the voice of the false god. And Lord, we thank you for answering this prayer in Jesus' name.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, O Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, my guiding light, the shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you.